responsible for keeping yourself burning hot. You don't have to wait for some event to have it happen to you. God says, I've already given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. Here it is. Get it in ya. Well, if you've got your Bibles, you can open with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at a few different scriptures. I'm going to start off in the Passion Translation just because I love the way it puts Romans 12. And many of you will have heard me speaking quite a bit last year. And it's so beautiful. I'm just going to read this first bit to you because it's hard to not read. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? And that's it. We are responding to the mercy of God. You know, as we read through the Old Testament, you know, you recognize the law and the, wow, the penalty of sin. And then you begin to read through the New Testament and you recognize what the sacrifice of Christ has done for us, that we no longer have to pay the penalty of sin, that we can humble ourselves and receive by faith what we can have no part in earning. And what should be our response to these marvelous mercies? Wow, how do we respond? Praise the Lord. Bless all my friends I didn't get to lay my hands on. Bless them, bless them, bless them. What should be our marvelous response, our response to his marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, the riches of what comes from being a follower of Christ, this hope we have of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Wow. And as we yield ourselves, as we daily come and offer our lives to be living sacrifices, the temple of the Lord, as we come before him day by day to say, Lord, my life is yours. This is my response to your marvelous mercy. He comes and he promises to fill those who would look to him and hunger and thirst to receive the ever-flowing river of his love that wants to fill us to overflowing. And he wants to bring to you the deep satisfaction of walking in continuous joy, continuous peace. No matter what's going on in the world around you, we have the promise of a satisfying, beautiful life. Not based on the world's idea of a satisfying, beautiful life, but a beautiful life that no one can take from you because you have found eternal life in Christ. We have this hope that no one can take away from us. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. That's just so happy I had to read it. That's not what I wanted to speak about tonight, but it was just too good to miss. Hallelujah. But I want to skip down, and we're going to skip down. Well, to probably verse, here we go. We'll go down to verse 9. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward the Lord burning hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate. Weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay," says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. Wow. Hear the word of the Lord. I love to read it sometimes in different translations because it'll hit you in an unfamiliar way where you go, oh, wow, yes, yes. And the heart of the Father is that we would understand that he gives us all that we need for life and godliness. Now, I just want to pick out a few points here. It's all so beautiful. But it says here, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Keep your passion boiling hot. You know, sometimes when you've been through a rough period or you're tired or you've had some sickness or stuff has gone on, you might feel physically, emotionally flat. You ever had days like that where you just feel flat? You're like, you don't feel like you got the energy to pray, or like you just feel a bit flat. And then the enemy might come and whisper in your ear, oh, you're burnt out. You need to look after yourself. Look after yourself. Look after yourself. You know what? I've discovered that the Lord isn't interested in the world's psychology. He is more interested in you recognizing, I need help and I know the one place I can go to get it. And that is the word of God. If you're feeling a bit flat, it's okay to feel flat. It's okay. Like, I'm tired. Take some rest. But in your rest, you need to stoke the fire. I've had those days where I feel like, I'm just tired. I don't feel like I got any energy. I'm just not in that place to pray. I can pray a bit, but just not, you know, really seek the Lord. And I just don't have it in me. Well, then you need to go and get him to put it in you. And the way you do that is by opening up the word of God. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, praise the Lord that you are not moved by your feelings, but that you are moved by the one who has given his life for you. And therefore, my response to his marvelous mercy is to bring my life as a living sacrifice. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Bible, I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to read it. I spent a few hours today just reading through 1 and 2 Samuel, reading through some of the books of the New Testament, just reading and enjoying Romans. And I spent a few hours reading the Word. And you know, by the end of it, I felt so recharged. I'd had last week, I was a bit unwell, and I had a couple of days where I just had no energy. And, you know, in the hangover of that, you just feel like, I haven't got any energy. Oh, I don't feel like I can pray very much. And I didn't have any emotion that felt like I was wanting to be burning hot. So when I open up the Bible and I just give myself to reading and looking and reading and praying and looking and reading, pretty soon the Holy Spirit starts to feed me. Because when I read the Word of God, it's like putting logs on a fire. If you're running low, you need to stoke the fire. You are responsible for keeping yourself burning hot. You don't have to wait for some event to have it happen to you. God says, I've already given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. Here it is. Get it in ya. Feed yourself on the Word of God. If you don't know what to do, if you're struggling, if you're feeling there's so much warfare, open the book and read it. If you can't concentrate, read it out loud. That'll really torment the enemy. Hallelujah. Read it. Whatever you need to do, read it, because as you read it, the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. That's how it can happen. You might think, oh, I just need a really good conference. And, you know, I love Fridays. I love Sundays. And you need to come and be with the family of God. Get into corporate worship. It's so glorious. It'll carry you when you're weak and it'll help you. It'll strengthen you when you're strong. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit will help you. Corporate worship. I tell you, when we went through that COVID time and we couldn't gather corporately to worship and sing together for like 3 months, because we were filming and had a television program, we could have a small worship band and me. And they were worshiping, we were recording it for you all, and there was me. And I was on the front lifting my hands, crying, thinking, oh God, I'm so sorry the people don't get to experience this. Because there's nothing like coming together and worshiping the Lord. Amen? It's so beautiful. But, you know, the Holy Spirit has for you also refreshing, daily refreshing, and you are responsible to feed yourself. And what you choose when you are feeling weak, when you're not feeling like making the right choices, is what will make the difference. When you decide, it's not about how I feel. I'm not led by my emotions. I'm not led by my physical feelings. I am all my emotions. I am led by the one who has given his life to me. Therefore, I'm going to open the book and I'm going to read. You think, well, I don't get anything out of it. Then read a whole book. Read it. Let the narrative get inside of you. Read it and read it with a determination. I am going to read this and God is going to put logs on my fire. Whether I feel like something's happening or not, I'm going to believe that my spirit is being nourished with every bit that I read. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take a constant, intense interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them and eagerly welcome people into your home. Speak blessing, not cursing. Celebrate with those who celebrate. Weep with those who weep. I love it. I particularly, this is what really stuck out to me. I thought it's so beautiful that the heart of the Father is that we would give our lives as members of one family to outdo each other in respect and honor of each other. That we would be those that would give our lives to the planning our lives around the noblest way to benefit others. You know, sometimes when you've got an opportunity just to stop and take a break and be have a rest, have some holiday time perhaps, or, you know, just you might be in that place where you think, I'm thinking about what's the next steps going to look like for me. The Bible says, plan your life around the noblest way of benefiting others. The world will tell you, plan your life around the best way to benefit yourself. The Bible says, plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. You know, a life that is given to the service of others in the name of the Lord Jesus is not a wasted life. It is a life of true, deep, glorious joy. as you decide, Lord, my life is yours. And Lord, I give myself, not to earn your pleasure, but I give myself in response to the fact that you gave yourself for me. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And the joy that comes from planning your life around the noblest way to benefit others is the key to a satisfying and beautiful life. Hallelujah. And I look at that and I look around the congregation, and we were having a conversation about the storm. We had some pretty significant storms the other day, and we had 4 trees on our property get blown over. It was pretty intense. But we didn't suffer any damage. I was talking to the Palmers, and they had a bathroom window blown in, and the manhole popped open from the pressure of the wind. But as we were talking, Alan immediately said, "Do you know of anybody that had any damage?" And I knew why he was asking, because he's thinking, how can I help? Because that's how he plans his life, how to benefit others. Their whole life, their whole family, you teach your family this way, is a life of service to benefit others. It's beautiful. They're not on staff here. They don't get paid a cent, yet they run the youth for us. They run all the communion groups. And if anyone's in trouble, no matter what they're doing, they're looking for ways to use whatever gifts they have to be a blessing. And their life is full and prosperous and beautiful, hallelujah, because they've found what it looks like to embrace the very essence of eternal life on earth, hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. I like this. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you're too important to serve others. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. I like the idea of doing your best to outdo one another in honor and respect. As I was reading today in 2 Samuel, reading about David, I was struck by how throughout the life of David, even though he was pursued by a demon-possessed king, Saul, in his life and in Saul's death, David never said a word against him. And when Saul was slain on the battlefield, he sang a song about Saul and Jonathan, and he only spoke good things. He reminded the people of all the good that Saul had done for them. Never once spoke evil of him. And I look at his life and I think, you know, he lived under the old covenant. We live under such a far superior covenant. We live under a covenant where the God of heaven lives on the inside of us. I can boldly approach the throne of grace and talk with him face to face. But I was reading in 2 Samuel 7 about David and David's heart he gets this idea in his heart after he's been crowned king and things are going well. Instead of getting smug, you know, with like, yeah, well, about time, and getting arrogant, he begins to think, here am I living in this beautiful house made of cedar, and yet God lives in a tent. I want to build a house for God. And so he talks to Nathan the prophet and says, I want to build a house for God. Nathan says, wow, that's a great idea. You should do it. And then God speaks to Nathan that night. In those days, they lived under a covenant where the Lord would speak through a priest or a prophet. Today, you and I can go boldly before the throne of grace. And because of Jesus' body broken for us, the veil has been torn and we can go before him. But even under this covenant, the way, the heart and the interaction that David has with the Lord is so beautiful. And then the Lord speaks to Nathan and says, go and tell David this. We can pick it up here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I've not dwelt in a house since the time I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but I've moved about in a tent and a tabernacle. Whenever I moved about with all the children of Israel, Have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rods of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, who I removed from before you. And you and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Like, this is the heart of God. God says, nobody's ever thought of building me a house. Nobody's ever thought of that. And he goes, this is what I'll do. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to bless you. It's David moved the heart of God with his desire. I just want to do something for you. Nobody's ever thought of that. Wow. And God begins to speak to him and he says, I'm going to build a house for you and your son's going to build my house. And David's response is amazing. David went in and sat before the Lord and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you've brought me this far? So he's in a posture of humility and thanksgiving. Wow, God. And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God, that you've spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you've done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. And he worships God. You are great. For there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we've heard with our ears. God loves it when you respond to him with worship. You just tell him from your heart, you're amazing, God. Wow, God, you're amazing. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. You've made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you've spoken concerning your servant and conserving his house, establish it forever and do as you've said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you've promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. And you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and you're with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. It's a really interesting response. He comes and he worships. He sits before the Lord and he talks to the Lord. God, you're amazing. You're so merciful to me. You're, Father, thank you. Wow, God. And then, he recounts the blessings of God. He comes in thanksgiving, he worships and he thanks God. And then he says, and you have spoken these promises over me. So therefore, let it be. And he comes into agreement with those promises. Yes, Lord, bless my family forever. Bless my household. Let your blessing come upon me. You know, this isn't a selfish thing. The Bible tells us that faith pleases God. David doesn't sit there and go, oh, no, God, oh, no, oh, no, no, I'm going to build you a house. No, I wanted to build you a house. Now, he goes, okay, thank you, Father. You're amazing. You are so good. You're so much better than I deserve. Wow, thank you. Be it unto me. I receive it. Yes, God, I agree with you. Let your blessing come upon me. I thank you that your blessing's coming upon my family. You know, God likes you to pray like this. When you come in humility before him, honor and worship, and you come into agreement with what he speaks over your life. Because the heart of the Father is that you would begin by responding to his mercy, saying, God, wow, how can I respond to your marvelous mercy? I give my life as a living sacrifice. Here it is. Oh, teach me your ways. Help me. God, I give my life to be a blessing to you. Lord, I thank you for your blessing and I receive your blessings. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that with long life, you'll prosper me and that with long life, you'll bless me. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that with you want to prosper me, Lord, that you want to cause my soul to prosper. I thank you, Lord God, that your delight and your desire is to bless my family. I thank you, Lord, that you are my help. I receive your blessing, Lord, that you speak your blessing over me. You said, God, that the blessings of Abraham are coming upon me because of Jesus Christ. So now let that blessing come upon me. Aligning yourself to come into agreement with the blessing of God. Yes, God. So now, Lord, let that blessing come upon me. And in that place of blessing, God, I sit before you and I worship you and I thank you and I bring my life daily. Lord, I give my life. I want to steward it to be one that continues to stoke the fire, reading your word. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. When I walk away from it, God, I repent and I receive your great grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you teach me, that you help me, that your patience is beyond my understanding. Lord, I thank you that I can sit with you in the knowledge that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me, and that I can trust you. God's delight for you is to have a more beautiful relationship than David had with God. We have a better covenant. We can sit with him and hear him speak to us.
We have some beautiful monthly partners and we'd love you to consider becoming one of our partners with us. Here's a testimony from our friend Sheila.
I love the fact that partnering has awoken in me fresh wisdom and revelation, truth and understanding of God's word in scripture to a depth previously unknown. It also allows me, when you go on ministry, it allows me to intercede more regularly, and also I feel as though I'm actually in those countries with you through intercession. Yeah, so thank you.
We'd love you to consider becoming a monthly partner with us. We so enjoy getting together every month and hearing about what the Lord is doing.